Welcome, everybody. We're back to share two on Hilchas Melicha. Let us start. Now, last year we talked about Hadacha Rishayna. What are the reasons why you need to wash it off before you salt it? However, we're going to talk about today in Sif Beis what happens after you didn't wash it off, but you salted it anyhow. So, if you look according to most of the Rishayna we brought, it's not a problem. It's not going to forbid the piece of meat. The most you have to do is re-soak it or rewash it and then salt it again and you'll be okay. However, we have the sheet of smak that holds that after you salted it, it's gonna drive in the surface blood and going to forbid the piece of meat because it gets embedded in there. And since it's a very embedded, because it's dam be'en, it's a little bit thicker blood, so then salting is not going to help it, and therefore it's gonna remain in there and forbid the piece of meat. How do we paskin? The Ramah says that we paskin like the smak, that we have to forbid the piece of meat unless it's a hefz meruba, it is a big loss. In that case, we can be samech, we can rely on the shitas of at least the Ran, that we have to wash the meat in order to soften it, and therefore it's not going to embed any of the blood inside, and therefore all you have to do is wash it and soak it, and then salt it, and it will be fine. That is the Ramos Shita. Now, before we get to explain the Ramos Shita further, we're gonna give a little bit of a introduction. Now, there's two types of melicha that the Chazal talks about. There's melicha l'kadeira, the amounts of salt that is needed in order to prepare a piece of meat that needs to get its blood out for cooking it. That's melicha l'kadeira, salting it to be able to put into a pot. And then there's a melicha l'tzli. We see Chazal talks about melicha l'tzli, salting it in order to roast. Now, what is this melicha l'tzli? Now, the melicha l'tzli is definitely a much lighter melicha. It doesn't need to be so heavily salted as if it needs to get the blood out. However, what is this purpose of this melicha l'tzli? So Rashi says that that even when you roast it, and we say that the fire will draw out the blood, and therefore that's the way to kasher it, still it needs a little push. So therefore you need a light melicha, light salting, in order to help to get the blood out. That is the opinion of Rashi. However, Taitzus and most Rishonim hold that the fire takes out all the blood and you don't need any salting to help. So if so, what is this melicha l'tzli? Melicha l'tzli is if you're roasting it and you would like to salt to taste, so then you salt it. If you don't like things salty, you're on a salt-free diet, so then you can roast it without salting it. That is shitas of the other Rishonim. However, so we find that there's two types of salting. One is a heavier type of salting. What is that? That's melicha l'kedera. And then there's a much lighter type of salting, which is melicha l'tzli. So the Ramah says that even though that we always consider melicha to be considered reseach, if it's considered hot, the heat of salt, when it gets to the point of melicha l'kedera, that's a heavy salting. However, melicha l'tzli, even though we shouldn't really consider it as a meliach harik reseach, that the salting is like hot. However, even if you salted this lighter salting on the unwashed piece of meat, it is still forbidden, unless it's a hefzer meruba. Now, what is the reason? Why should we consider a melicha l'tzli as something that's going to drive in the blood if it's not considered kareseach as if it's hot? So the Taz brings two shitas. Now, the first thing he says is something that we see all over Yerideya, that the Ramah in many places decides that we are not experts anymore in many things, and therefore we always have to be machmir in these aspects. And therefore, one of the things that we're not experts in, eino no bikim, between the melicha of kedera to a melicha of tzli, we don't know at what point does it pass the point that it's no longer light enough to be considered melicha l'tzli, and it turned into melicha l'kedera. So therefore, he says, since we are not bikim anymore, since we're not experts, so therefore, even if you do a light salting that could be considered as melicha l'tzli, perhaps with you not realizing it. It actually was a little bit heavier, and it was a melicha l'kedera. So therefore, we always forbid any melicha litzli as if it be melicha for kedera, because we're not sure at which point does it become melicha l'kedera. That's the Taz's first pshat. Then he has another pshat, even if we would know that's definitely melicha litzli. It's a very light salting. However, even though that we know for sure that it doesn't heat up the piece of meat in general, because it's too light of a melicha to heat up the piece of meat. However, perhaps where the salt fell, that it has a concentration of saltiness that's able to drive the blood in at those points. So therefore, even though in general the piece of meat is not hot, however, it could be hot in certain places to drive in the blood. That is the Taz's shita. Now, does it become completely usur without any way of making it mutter? So the Shach says that if you did salt it, and it's within the shir melicha, which we're going to say, at least l'chumra at this point, as 18 minutes, if it's within 18 minutes, you can roast it. So even though that we said that it's embedded, the blood is embedded, that it can't come out, however, that's only by regular salting. But if you roast it within 18 minutes, it doesn't get so embedded that the roasting, which is a stronger way to remove blood, could still take it out. That is the Shita Sashach. And he quotes the Darki Moshe that way. And he brings a proof from the Ramol later on in Simen Ayin Vav that says as follows. Now, we already said that there's a machlokes whether you need to do salting if you're going to roast a piece of meat. So we paskin, like most shitas, that really you don't. However, l'chadchila, we do say that we should worry about Rashi and salt the meat lightly anyhow. So also, there's a machloikis over there. If we're roasting, do you need to wash off the piece of meat? So in both cases, we are also machmer, we wash it off. But b'di'evit, if you didn't wash it off, it's kosher. So what happens? If someone doesn't wash it off, yet he does the light salting. So what's the din? The din is you can still roast it. We said that if you didn't do the washing, it's mutter b'di'evit. So the shach leans from here that the Ramo holds that if you roast it right after it's salted, even with the dam be'en, it's not a problem. And therefore, as long as within 18 minutes that you put it on the fire, it would be permitted. That is the Shach's proof, and therefore he holds it's permitted as long as it's roasted within 18 minutes. However, the Pesachei Teshuvah brings the Tefillah L'Moshe, who argues and says like this, there's no raya, there's no proof from the Ramo over there. Why? Because he's only a proof if you salt it the amount that's needed for roasting. In other words, the lighter salting that we classified as melicha litzli, because what are you doing over there? You're trying to roast it. So when we're talking about salting it, you're talking about the lighter salting of melicha litzli. However, we don't have any proof from that Ramo that we should permit it, even if it is salted heavily, like melicha l'kedera, and then you roast it. That we don't have any proof. So therefore, he only permits it when you have two things going for it good. In other words, A, it's being roasted within 18 minutes, and the original melicha, the original salting, was not too heavy. It wasn't melicha l'kedera, but only if it was the lighter salting of melicha litzli. So that's the machlokes between the Shach and the Tefillah L'Moshe. So let's move on to the next thing. Now, the Ramo permits, if there is hadoch mu'et, the mu'etes, a superficial washing, and if there's a piece of meat that has 60 times volume of its surface blood. Now, in both these cases, it is permitted according to the smak, because either you're getting rid of the surface blood and there's no dam be'en, so if you salt it, it's not going to drive in any dam be'en. And if there's 60, so even if it drives the dam be'en in, but there's 60 and it would be diluted, and therefore it would be permitted, because even the dam be'en is batel b'shishim. Now, even though the shach says that you're not going to find usually a piece of meat that's going to have 60 times the volume of the blood on the surface, but if you do find this such a piece of meat, it would be permitted. So, in order to give an introduction to the next things we're going to talk about, so even though that we brought originally the Prima Gadin that brings six shitas of why you need Hadach Rishayna, most Achronim go with two shitas. One is the smack, that if you don't wash off the dam be'en, the salt is going to make it absorb. And the Ran that says if you don't soften it, it's not going to be soft enough to be able to expel all of its blood, and therefore it will be not blood-free and it will be osir. So, the Shachem Tah says, in the case where you washed it off a little bit, or in the case where it's a 60, so then afterwards you can cook it. Because according to the smack, all the blood is gone, and there's no surface blood that asers, so therefore it's permitted to cook it. You can put it right now after this original salting and throw it into the pot, and it's fine. Ah, you're not yoitz the ran. We rely on the smack. So says the Shach and Taz and matters just with the salting. However, Rabbi Akiva Eger says no. We don't aser the piece of meat, but we cannot permit it without rewashing it and salting it. Why is that? Because he says like this. Before we said that if it's salted with the dam be'en on top of it, so even though we usually forbid it, but we do permit it, behefsa meruba. If it is a case of a large loss, so then you can permit it. So in other words, we are now going to eat a piece of meat that's a kosher only to the ran, but is treif according to the smack. So it seemed to be that we really hold like the ran, because if we hold like the smack, so how can we eat even a hefsa meruba, a piece of meat that is treif to the smack? So therefore, if we really hold like the ran, that the main thing is softening, how can we allow now, if we're going to be yoitza according to the smack, and we're not going to be yoitza according to the ran. So this piece of meat that after the salting you throw into a pot will only be kosher according to the smak, where there's no problem with dam be'en, but it is not going to be kosher according to the ran, because you never soaked it well to be soft so that the salting should take out the blood. So therefore, how can, in one hand, we can be makel like the ran against and being over the smak, and now we're going to be yoitza the smak and transgressing the ran. So that he holds as a contradiction in Psak, and therefore we can't allow it, but at the end he seems to allow it behefsa meruba. If there's a big loss, you could, if you throw it into the pot and it's going to be a big loss, you can be lenient and permit it. That is Rabbi Akiva Eger. However, the Piskei Tshuva bring the Levusi Sarod, who seems to agree to the Shach and Taz, and he says that regularly we paskin like the smak, and that's why b'di'evid, if you washed it off superficially, or that there's 60 against the blood, you're allowed to throw it l'chatchila into a pot, because b'di'evid, if you didn't get the ran, it's not such a big problem. However, behefsa meruba, we rely on the ran, and he seems not to be so concerned that it's going to be a stira, a contradiction in psak, not like the Rivki Veger. So how do we understand the Shita Shach and Taz, who seems to have a contradicting psak over here? Then one hand he'll be go against the ran and go like the smak, and then the other time just turn around and do the ran and not like the smak. So I would like to compare this to a sugya that I guess that most of you are familiar with. There's a Mishnah in the fourth parak of Brachos. When is the end of the time for Mincha? When is the beginning of the time of Maariv? So we have a Machlokes Tanoim. The Chachamim say that Mincha is over by nightfall, and from that time on, Maariv starts. The Rav Yehuda holds that it's over by Plaga Mincha, that after Plaga Mincha, you can't daven Mincha, but at that time on, you can daven Ma'ariv. So now the time slot between Plaga Mincha and nightfall, so according to Rabbi Yehuda, that's a time for Ma'ariv, and according to the Chachamim, it's a time for Mincha. So what do we paskin? The Gemara says, Ovid Kamar Ovid, Ovid Kamar Ovid. You can do which, like, either Shita that you want. So the Stipler in Brochus Simon Aleph brings a machloikis Rishonim, an argument between the Rishonim. What does it mean? You can do whichever way you want. So he brings them here, he says, every day you can pick a different Shita. One day you want to daven Mincha until nightfall, that's fine. And the next day you can daven Mincha before Plag and daven Ma'ariv after Plag before nightfall. Even though it seems to be a contradiction, but that's the thing with Suffolk Rabbonins. Are Lekula, you can be Makel either way. However, the Rosh says, no, Al Suffolk Rabbonin, you can pick either way. However, once you pick one way, you have to be consistent by it. And therefore, by Suffolk Rabbonin, it's not the explanation that you can just, as long as the Suffolk do it, as the Suffolk means you can follow one Psak, and once you follow that Psak, that is the Psak, and you have to keep it forever. Now, in Shulchan Aruch Paskin, pretty much like the Rosh, that once you pick one way, you always have to keep it forever. Except for that he says, B'shas Adchak, in a time of need, that you need to switch it for whatever reason. So if you're pushed to switch it, you're allowed to switch it. So this seems to be similar to Levus HaYisrod. Remember that we paskin that salted blood is only Osir Midrabanan. It's not Osir Midraisa only if it's raw. So over here, where it is a Suffolk Rabbanan, we can say that we pick the smack, and the smack, and as long as it's kosher according to the smack, that we keep it kosher. But if it's only kosher l'ran, we don't keep it kosher. We don't consider it kosher. However, if it's a b'shas adchak and a hefse meruba, if we're in time being that is pushed, we are pushed to do some way because we're going to experience a big loss. So then, al tzavik d'rabbanon, we could pick the other shita of the ran to go like, and that's why it's not a problem to go to have a contradicting psak. Okay, let's go on to the last thing. So the Ramah says that when we aser the piece of meat, it's only that piece of meat. But let's say if it's salted with other pieces of meat that were washed, so then we matter the other pieces of meat, despite that the blood from this piece of meat, the surface blood, is dripping onto them. It only forbids the piece of meat that it was originally on, but not onto any other meat that it falls onto. Now, what is the reason for that? So the Shach says, because even though regarding the piece of meat that it's on, it's dam be'en, it's considered a much thicker blood, but by the time it flows to the other piece of meat, it thins out, and therefore it's no longer have the status of dam be'en, but dam pleito, like other blood that was expelled by pieces of meat, which we say even if they do get absorbed into a piece of meat, it could come out with the malicha. So even if it will come in, it will come out through the salting. So that is the reason why we permit all the other pieces of meat. Now, the Taz has a different pshat. He's going that when that piece of meat, before it was salted, or at the time of the salting, the blood is still an Issa d'Oraisa. It's still also from the Torah because it is raw blood, and raw blood is also, it's only after it's salted. So at that point, even though we have a question whether it absorbs or not, if we say Suffolk d'Oraisa l'chumra, we have to be stringent and forbid that piece of meat. However, by the time it gets to other pieces of meat, the blood is already salted and is only a Suffolk d'Rabbanan. And a Suffolk d'Rabbanan, we say, is Lekula, and therefore we can be Saimich and rely that it doesn't absorb in other pieces of meat. Okay, that's the end of Shir 2.